The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In a surprising turn to some and maybe an expected turn to others, another prominent Fine Gael member has decided to step away from the political arena after a remarkable 45-year career in politics, including significant contributions as a Minister for Rural and Community Development. Michael Ring is going to tell us why. Michael, good morning and welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Pat. First of all, you're very welcome to Mayo.
Well, thank you very much. Not the first time.
I know that.
I remember flying over the boggy land that became Knock Airport, now Ireland West Airport, with Pádraig Flynn in a Cessna, I think it was.
Oh.
And I couldn't believe what was about to unfold. And it did unfold, and it's proven to be very successful.
A fantastic piece of infrastructure. The best infrastructure we have in Connacht. It's certainly, it just never has gone as well. It's great. And I tell you, lots of people should use it, because going into Dublin Airport is a disaster. Come down to our airport, and I can tell you one thing, you'll have great comfort. You'll be able to get in and out on your holidays and enjoy them. And you'll get in and get out, so you will.
Tell me, Michael, why you made the decision now, how long it's been in the making.
Well, to be truthful, Pat, politics is my blood, as you say. I started in 1979, 45 years in politics. It was a very difficult decision. I've been thinking about it for the last, I suppose, since the last election. I gave a commitment to my family in the last election that I wouldn't put them through another election. And
they held you to it.
Well, that was the problem. That was actually the problem. I thought about it, and I was going to go again. And if it had been last March, I was on the real dilemma, because Fine Gael were in a bit of difficulty at the time. And I felt that we might, you know, that things weren't going too well for the party. But I have to say, since Simon Harris took over the party, we've had a great local elections, and we had a great European elections. And I think the party's in a better place because of him. And to be honest, Pat, if there was a leadership contest, I wouldn't have backed him. I would have backed Pascal Donohoe. But I think Simon Harris had done a superb job.
Are you surprised by him?
I am. I actually am. I think he's done a tremendous job. Great energy, an ordinary guy, listens, and I think he understands what the people need, and he's doing the right things. That I asked him a few months ago to go back to the middle ground and not be going at the left where they were gone too left for too long, and I believe that he had the party in the right place, in the right position, and we're ready now for the general election.
If you were in his shoes, when would you call it?
I would call it in the autumn. I'd have a November election. I'd have the budget, then I'd have the election. I would not, if I was in his shoes, I would not go into another February election. And I'm saying this to the people out there. People are bad form after Christmas. The credit cards are coming in. Bad weather. And I can tell you, Pat, I remember in the last election down in Belmullet one day, and a fella felt so sorry for me. He gave me his golfing outfit, but it was that wet. So I can tell you one thing. I don't want to see another winter election. So I hope it'll be October,
but
November.
The problem is, if there's a so-called, as promised, giveaway budget, and lots of things will be promised in the budget for delivery in 2025. If you have the election in 2024, the money has not yet arrived in people's pockets.
No, but it'll be gone off the pockets at Christmas. So we might as well go on with the promise rather than when it's gone out of their pockets. No, I think it'll be a big mistake if they go to winter election. I think now is the time. And anyway, I think people are expecting an election now. And, you know, the media now will build it up in September. They'll be talking about elections, be talking about the budget. And I think, but that's, look, that's his decision. That's the one decision that he had to make at Taoiseach. Yeah. And he had that right at Taoiseach to call the election whenever. But if I was calling the election, I'd have it an October, November election.
Now, for a while there was an absence of rural voices like your own around the cabinet table, and then you were made a minister and in a department that didn't exist.
Well, Pat, people, you know, don't respect, it was the first time I think in 30 years, and I'm open to correction on that, that we actually set up a new department. Every other new department that was set up in the past, there was a block of a department there. There was a civil servants.
Renamed it.
Just renamed.
Reprint
exactly.
All the notepaper.
But I had to bring the legislation to the all through the Senate. And I went into an office and I hadn't even a private secretary. There was no secretary general. There was no assistant secretary. I had to appoint an assistant secretary. Then they appointed the secretary general, then the staff. But it was a good bet, because I had total control of the department. I was actually there before any of them. So it was a new department, and there was lots of rows and lots of difficulties, but it turned out, and I have to say, we had some great people. When they understand how I worked, everything was grand.
Yeah. You know? Now when... you were the boss.
That was correct, Pat, yes.
And I can't imagine it being other, by the way.
Yeah.
When you, as a minister, go into a department that's existing with an existing hierarchy of civil servants, do the civil servants kind of believe they're the boss? And, you know, they want to tame you.
Well, look, they're the permanent government. That's the problem. They are, but they're not elected. We're the ones that are elected. They're selected, and they actually want to run it their way. Now, you said I was Minister for State in two other departments. I came into tourism and sport, and you have civil service there. You have, assistant secretaries, and it's usually when you're a junior minister, it's assistant secretary that'll be. You have two or three assistant secretaries. The Secretary General tried to take control of the whole thing, but they like to think that they're in control, and they like to think it'll be done their way. But you know, when I was in the Department of Sports, there was no sports capital and hadn't been for many, many years. And I said to them, well, look at, we have to go funding. Oh, no, look at, we're in a crisis. We can't get a funding. And what they forgot was that many small builders around the country, that's what kept them alive, was the sports capital programme. When we allocate the money, they built the facilities around the country. Many businesses stayed in business because of that. But they couldn't see that. They weren't thinking about the money. They weren't thinking about the finances. And they weren't thinking, and we all have to think about that. But you can't just stop the economy. You have to keep the country going, and you have to make sure.
And all of that money that goes into projects like that, it goes around.
Well, of course it does. And not alone that, every sporting organisation, they put their own money into it as well. They raise funding and they put money into it. So everybody is gaining. Everybody is getting something out of it. The shopkeepers getting out of it. The suppliers get it. The builder. And I met many builders, and, there was a scheme I wrote in when I was in the rural department about, playgrounds. I said there's playgrounds in every part of the country now. Everybody is. And when did they come into play? They came into play during COVID. Sure. They were used everywhere, and everybody realised the value of them. And you can see children and people, and particularly parents, every single day using these fantastic facilities we have around the country. But the great thing about the department when I came in, I brought in a lot of new schemes that they didn't want to do. Very simple schemes. The town and village scheme. Like, every town and village has improved around the country now. Every town and village. And they were saying, look, you can't be doing this. I said, we're going to do it. That's it. I brought in, I remember that they didn't want me to, the shows, the men's sheds, the women's sheds. Yeah. I gave funding to all them, the tidy towns. So the tidy towns, they do more work than the local authorities. If we didn't have the tidy towns around the country, our towns and villages would be in an awful state. And we get them a little simple bit of funding, and they appreciate it. And they're doing a great job for the state. And the same thing with the men's and women's shed, keeps people occupied. You give them a bit of funding, and they're able to get facilities, and they do good work for the community as well.
Do you think government tends to be too Dublin-centric?
I do, really, Pat, I do. And they don't understand. They don't understand rural Ireland. To be honest, they don't. The problem is they're living, and most of them are living in Dublin 4, 5 and 6, and they don't actually understand rural Ireland. They mean well, and they do mean well. They want the country to run smoothly, but they don't have an understanding. But I will say this, since that new department has been set up, but I want to compliment Heather Humphrey. She has continued what I put in place, and she is also a minister.
Yeah.
She is also a minister. She's not afraid to do what she has to do. And there's a lot of good schemes there. Small, simple schemes that have worked very well. And particularly the Rural Regeneration Scheme. I mean, I just think of Nathan Rye. They were saying to me, the Department of Agriculture wouldn't put the funding into it. They were looking for a few million. Now, it's a wonderful hub, a food hub. It was opened there by the Taoiseach a few months ago. There's loads of people working in it now. They have great facilities in it. And now there's lots of businesses being built around it. And that's happened all over the country. But the big issue, Pat, at the time when I was there, was the broadband. And in the cabinet at the time, and we had a lot of resistance, they only wanted to do the bigger towns, the smaller, the bigger towns, get the broadband. And I fought at the cabinet table, and I have to give credit to Leo Radicar. He did support me on that one. And we're running it out now all over the country. Not everybody has it now, but they nearly have it. Like, you don't hear anybody complain about broadband anymore. There's high-speed broadband, and it's working. And that created, will allow people, particularly people to work from home. And,
and it may change the demographics.
Well, that's
if
correct.
People know they can comfortably work from the countryside instead of having to commute to Dublin.
And the other thing, people would be always saying, I'd be giving out in the west of Ireland, we don't have this, we don't have that. When I was minister as well, I had the SICAP programme. The SICAP programme is for disadvantaged areas. Like, when I went down to Tell and places like that, and you know that, and I know, and, went down to Limerick, down to different, big housing estates there with a couple of hundred houses, no facilities, bad housing, and, the SICAP programme is there to try and help them and educate them and bring them along. And they have, in rural Ireland, they've given out about it, that it's this and that and the other. But there's more people working and living in rural Ireland now since the foundation of the state. Now.
In spite of talk of denuding the countryside.
And look at the other thing, and I did a lot of canvassing during the election for my candidates around Mayo. I mean, they're taught about planning. Every corner you go on, it's fantastic houses. You know, there are people are building in rural Ireland. So lots of people. And the amount of people that I met, they're working from their homes, in very good jobs, in very good companies. And the more that we do that, and the broadband helped that. And I remember the time I set up the hubs, you know, in villages where people could go in and work up, could work from their hall that was there. We put the funding to put in the broadband. So that's all helped and has all supported what's happening in rural Ireland.
We were talking earlier about the upgrading of the N5, the M5, whatever. That commute for you from Mayo to Dublin, that must have been a bit wearing. Does that come into your decision to finally throw in the towel?
It does, because that means it comes a time, you know. You see, you've seen it today now. You've travelled from Dublin to Mayo. I go up on Monday night. I used to go up and I'd come down on Friday. Or you might even have go up and down twice if anything went wrong. But you'd be, you know, every week it's getting into Dublin, getting out of Dublin. You'd have to be judging what time to get in. I used to go at night time because it was easier to get in. You know, if you're at 7 o'clock in the morning trying to get into Dublin, from 7 to 10, you just can't do it. So I'd have to go up the night before. But then coming home in the evening, getting caught in that traffic. And again, you know, people in rural Ireland say, look, we don't have the services. They have the roads in Dublin, but they can't use them. I mean, you know how long it takes you to get out of Dublin.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I feel sorry for people. They're caught in their car, they're commuting, coming home. They're going early in the morning, coming home late in the evening, caught in traffic for 2 hours, and it is, and people don't really understand that.
One of the challenges, of course, we have is road safety. I mean, did you ever come a cropper?
Well, Pat, you won't believe this. In 7 years, I've had 5 different people run into the back of me.
Wow.
And that was part of the reason. And even last year, coming home, June, I had an the beaten path, and my neck had never been, and I'm not claiming, by the way, my neck hasn't been right since, and it's part of the reason the roads are getting...
I mean, your neck was damaged because people would say your neck is pretty hard.
Well, the chase, of course. And you need it. You need a good neck, so you do, in politics. Yeah, yeah. No, look, I've made the decision now, and I'm happy with it. I was, as I say, I came through the system, and I think that's another thing, Pat. They got rid of the town councils, and it was a big mistake. Because the town councils was a great breeding ground to train people.
People cut their teeth and you'd find out whether
that's
they
where
had.
I came from. The town council did a guy like the town county council and then the Dáil, and I was in the 3 of them at one time. But I have to say...
And then they abolished that as
that
well. You could only have one job.
Towns like Killarney and Westport and towns like that, and they have missed the town council. And Ballinair, they have all missed the town council. They had their own budget, their own staff, their own
team.
So
you're looking to the county council then to mind you? And look after the interests of those towns, even though they're very significant population centres.
Well, what has really happened is they've taken the rate base from the big towns and they're spreading them maybe around the areas, but it is doing, you know, it's a disadvantage to the Ballinair, the Westport, the Castlebars. Because, particularly in the towns like Killarney and Westport, where they were able to spend money on promoting tourism and everything else, like it was great that we had that kind of funding.
Now, what about the challenges that face Ireland, that face government at the moment? What do you see as the greatest problems?
Well, there's no point pretending the biggest challenge we have though is immigration and the people coming into the country. We used to have the problem of people going out of the country. And in fact, I remember, Pat, 25 or 30 years ago, you're down in Lewisburg doing a programme for RTE about immigration.
Yeah.
And you actually, you followed a family, you know, going through England and everything else. And now we have the other problem, and it is a big problem. And to be honest with you, we didn't handle it very well, I have to say. We did.
Are there particular issues in Mayo?
There is in every corner of Mayo, and it is, and people are very upset about it. You know, we have it in, you know, lots of areas in the county, and it's an issue that's building up.
Yeah.
And it's not that people object to people coming in, but they object to bringing people in, and the infrastructure is not there. You know, the schools, and I get it. You know, schools and school principals, and I have to compliment the education sector, and particularly the teachers. The big challenge is on, and like teachers come in, and people couldn't speak English, and. You know, and they really, really took it on. They didn't get the credit that they deserve, the teachers and the schools, even though they were under severe pressure, every one of the schools. So it's an issue that needs to be dealt with. Like, we cannot take the whole world in, Pat. Whether we like it or don't like it, we can't.
We can take in people. There are jobs for people, as we know, in hospitality and in other places. So we need to regulate it.
Correct.
So we get the people desperately need refuge, and also the people who are going to contribute economically.
And of course they will, and they will do that, but we have to do it. You know, can't do it at the pace we're doing it. We have to, as you say, we have to regulate it. Like you take every other country, you have to get visas and everything else to come into the country. We have to be very careful. And of course we have to take the people that are in difficulty in other countries, and we have done that. We have done very well for the Ukrainians. We have done very well for other nationalities that come in. But, you know, we kind of be seen as a soft touch. Either.
All right. Your succession. Have you assured it for Fine Gael?
Don't know now. We're thinking about that. We're looking at. I'm sure there's plenty of people that come out of the woodwork that'll want to go forward. And I've been there for 30 years now, and I'm sure there's people that'll be ready to put their hat in the ring. And whoever is selected, I will be supporting them to make sure that we hold that seat.
It would not be right or proper for you to endorse any one of the
candidates. Not at the moment. No. Yeah. We have to wait and see who.
I suspect you're going to miss this terribly.
I will, but I really will. And I'm going to say to you now, when you go on holidays, if you want me to do the show for you, I'll do it. I'm available.
I cannot refuse.
But I will, pal. I will miss it. Like, it's part of my life. In fact, I was saying that to Paul Gahora, what am I going to do with myself? And I haven't even thought about it. You know, I haven't really thought about it. But look, I'm not going to look back. I'm going to look forward. And I have a lot to look forward to. And I have a good family and I've got grandchildren. And I'll enjoy my time. I mean, there was times I couldn't go here, I couldn't go there. Every year, Pat, 1 week's holidays I took for the last 45 years. So I'll go for 2 weeks anyway, at least, when I retire. So.
Well, Michael, thank you very much for joining us here to mark your decision to retire from politics
thank
after
you very
such
much,
a,
thank you, Will. Thank you.
An
thank
amazing
you.
Career. Michael Ring, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.